We're a little bit late here, live on Facebook. Shared a news feed. That's too bad. Title. What is today? Today is March. March 2nd. 2021. Trump talk. And what should I call it? Hey Phil, on Facebook, Fred is. Why is Fred on the bottom there?
I must have come in after you.
I know, but I. All right. Well,
I can go back in if you want.
Let me just start this, and then we can figure it out. You know, let's just try and get a show. Don't you feel like trying? Okay, I think I made a mistake too. I need to reassign something here. Oh my goodness. MacBook Pro Zoom 8 audio. No, hang on. External headphones. Let's try that. Oh, there we go. All right, well. You know what this is? This is a rocky start to the show, but that's okay.
Yeah, but you know what's made it better?
Joe Jackson.
Joe Jackson.
Yeah, man. All right, there's it's going to have a little different look today because Phil is live from the CDN Technology Studios. Isn't that cool?
Looks much brighter, doesn't it?
It does. It's the first time I've seen you. It's funny because you're doing something today that I haven't done in a long time either. Wearing a shirt.
With a collar.
With a collar. I like enough already. Wearing hoodies and sweatshirts.
Partying like it's 2015.
Yeah. And you look good. Let's get ready. Are you ready, Phil?
Absolutely.
All right.
The following episode of Humble and Fred is brought to you by the Retirement Sherpa, Gig Sky, The Chambers Plan, Clear Air Solutions, Palma Pasta, CDN Technologies, 5-Hour Energy, Safe Tech Security, Onyx Hospitality, Platinum Pro Painters, and our newest sponsor, NextHome.ca. If you'd like to talk to Humble and Fred, our Facebook page is Humble and Fred Radio. And now, from the remote headquarters of the Humble and Fred Show, here are Humble and Fred.
Little baby Phil. There he is. All grown up. Are you there? I can't tell if you're talking or not. I'm not on that screen anymore.
No, I was just letting the music breathe there a bit, looking at the face of our sweet boy who we've raised to become quite the fine young man.
Oh, yeah.
There he is in the office environment. Look at this look on his face. Smiling, yeah. All enthusiastic. Oh, yeah, something else.
Yeah, man. He's all grown up now. He's all grown up.
Yeah, was it Phil? What was the drive like this morning? Today was your first early one.
You know, one of the best reasons that I'm still at this job after one day is that the commute is always contraflow. So I'm going against the traffic all the time, which was perfect. It was half an hour here, half an hour home yesterday at 6 o'clock.
Mm-hmm. Wait, on day one,
yeah,
you're saying the best reason that you're still at the job.
Mm-hmm. is because I can come here happy because I'm not yelling at other drivers on the road.
Yes.
Right? Yes. So you found that out after day one.
Well, it's a big stress for me. Maybe I'm just a big baby.
Anyway, well, we're happy for you, man. It's good for you. Did you feel good? Well, how was the first full day?
Very good. Very nice and efficient.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the way things have fit into place, it's just, it's fantastic. You know, we change and you change and, you know, there's a job right up your alley available. Barb hires you. You can still work with us. The commute is, what did you call it? Counterflow. It sounds like
counterflow. It's counterflow.
Sounds like a form of birth control.
Oh, I thought it was how you flush your toilet, eh? Yeah. It's counterflow.
I just love how he's come to that conclusion.
It's all good. Like, I mean, everything has worked out perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
I love how he's come to all that conclusion after the first day. He's just
well, it's, it just doesn't feel like it's too new, right? Because I'm working with someone I've worked with for 3 years. So, yeah. So I like the fact that I know people, right? I know people.
Mm-hmm. How did you get how does the day go there at CDN Technologies? Do you get like coffee breaks? Or is there a lunch room for you to have your lunch? What did you bring for lunch? Did they have lunch brought in? What are the, you know, you can, these you are can the questions. Did you get to have a nap in the afternoon at any point?
Oh, if only. They have a nice wet bar down here, right? So you can make food like we would downstairs. And then there's also a nice supermarket up the road that my sisters like. So there's the Korean supermarket. I can buy stuff off of them. Yeah.
Well, as long as your sisters like the grocery store, then I guess it's a... That's good.
Has Pearl begun to spend your paycheck?
Not yet. But she's thinking of it.
Oh, I can imagine. She's sending you a list. Like, how did she like that news that you had received a big raise?
She's a bit sad, actually, because it means, well, because, you know, it's not just money. It's also how I spend my time, which means I can't talk to her in bed anymore because of the scheduling.
Oh,
wow. Wait a second. Are you saying that Barb doesn't allow you just to, you know, stop for like an hour or two just to talk to Pearl during the morning?
I started at 9 to look at Barb and I'm like, hey, can I talk to Pearl at 9:15?
Okay, Phil.
We'll flip away.
Oh, so you've entered the real world.
That's true. Mm-hmm. And in a month and a half, she will too, because she'll be here with me.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Phil, what is the real world like?
It's very violent. It's very angry.
We don't know.
There's lots of sarcasm.
We don't know. We've managed to avoid it for most of our lives. And you got home at a reasonable time. Now, did the sister daughters pitch in and make, you know, dinner for you?
Well, because my mother's retired, she makes dinner.
Oh, nice.
Because she's bored after death. You know, when, as you guys say, I mean, even when you retire, you got to find something to do, right?
Yes, you do.
So she's 65 and she's staring at a wall.
And this is what we found to do.
Well, yeah, it's funny you say that because all the different styles of granola my wife is making, you know, one day she'll be in there and today's the banana and then tomorrow's the ginger. And she's becoming very good at granola, the different flavors and different spins. For that reason, she's just looking for things to do.
Yeah.
It can be very productive. It can be.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Phil, if you had to guess where the bottom of my... dock is gone on my computer. Where would it be, do you think?
The bottom of your dock.
You know what I'm talking about? I'm trying to find the bottom of it. It's just all disappeared somehow.
Oh, is there like a margin issue? Like if you scroll down, there's nothing there? Or?
I don't know.
You double check.
I wanted to play something. I think it's gone somewhere. I don't know, man. I wanted to play something.
Our guest today is one of our favorites. Noel Kassler's back today.
Noel Kassler is back
for his monthly check-in, I would say, right? He's become that kind of guy.
And there's lots of good Trump talk. You know, there's some good Trump stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's always interesting.
You know, did you see that email we received yesterday from that guy who heard Noel on a different podcast?
Yeah, I didn't read it, though.
I read it, and I listened to it a bit. Noel's got a... Like, his family history is amazing. You know, his mother was a bank robber.
I did not know that.
Oh, yeah. She robbed banks, about 8 of them.
What?
Yeah. And his grandfather was a big player in the Nixon administration. Oh, yeah, it's fascinating.
Right, he quit because Nixon started bombing my mom. Do you remember? We were talking about this a couple months ago.
No, I don't remember him.
I don't remember him talking about Nixon bombing your mom. I think that would have...
The secret bombing.
I think that would have... Yeah.
Factually, he quit for that reason. Yeah. Thought it was too violent.
Jesus, Phil. Don't you guys remember Nixon bombed his mom or his... I don't recall that conversation. All right. Well, now... Okay, you guys are back. Did you hear me? Because you're both freezing on my screen now.
No.
Yeah, we're fine. Yeah.
You did hear me or you didn't hear me?
Did hear you say what? I don't know. We don't know. It all depends what you said. We need to know what you said to know whether we heard it.
I don't remember now. Okay, here's what I've been waiting since yesterday to play. Are you okay if I play this?
I just asked you a question for one second. Do you know a comic, a woman named Judy Gold?
Oh, you see, I missed you that completely. That was when you were frozen. I missed that completely. I don't know her. I know of her.
Okay, well, Noel was on her podcast. Mm. And this is when it came up that his mom was a career bank robber.
Wow.
Maybe we can ask him about that.
We've got that to talk to him about. Mm-hmm. We've got a lot of Trump stuff. I was reading a couple of interesting articles yesterday about all the things that Donald Trump said at this CPAC, you know, American Nazi get together. Like, mm-hmm. I don't understand how they don't see how they're doing this. I mean, I find that fascinating. Of course, we'll talk to Noel about some of that.
You know, the most disturbing part of that, because he knows the way those that voted for impeachment, the Republicans, have been threatened, they've been badgered, they've been disowned by family. For him to stand up there in that forum and rattle off all those names.
Yeah, his hit list.
For people to go after, that's just evil because he knows where that could lead to. And again, we've said it before, you still find this guy acceptable on any level, see a doctor because you got problems. You really do. He's an evil fuck.
You feel better now?
Yeah, I do. Can you imagine that, though? Like, and you know, he's just hanging those people out to dry. He's just inviting people to attack them.
What is it? It's less to me about him doing that than all the other people around him that continue to support it. Like, we know what he's like now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's almost a given that he's whatever he is. It's hard to define. But all the people around him and all the people that support it, and it's almost more curious about them because we know. I mean, I don't know if I told you, I read this book about Trump. Like, he's not the brightest guy, but there are bright people around him. That Josh Hawley and Matt Gaetz and those guys, they're not stupid. They're not some, like Lauren Boebert, Marjorie Taylor Greene, to me, they don't seem very bright.
No.
But there's lots of people around Donald Trump in that circle that have gone to, you know, Ivy League schools that are pretty smart human beings, and they know better. I mean, Trump knows better, but he doesn't care because of his, his narcissism is beyond, definition. But those other people know better.
Mm-hmm.
So what's their what's their story?
I don't know. And they just find excuses for him. It's just power. You know, they've all hung their hat on this. Support him, stay on the right side of his support. And then if for some reason within the next 4 years, maybe he gets cancer or something and dies, we can only hope. Then they haven't alienated his base and they can take it and run.
Did we have a bit? Or is it somebody else a bit? We were saying, hurry up and die, Donald Trump. Is that our bit?
I can't remember. I hope so.
Phil, is that us?
I thought we were about the conspiracies to kill him.
I don't know. For some reason, when you were talking, I was thinking, hurry up and die, Donald Trump. But all those guys, you're right. They're just jockeying for position. But in the meantime, I'll ask you this question. How can, if you accept that I think some of those people are very bright, how can then bright people in good conscience be so dumb?
Is that dumb?
Well, because some of them, they believe, like, listen, Josh Hawley knows that the election wasn't stolen. It was fair and all that crap. But he also is a bit, they're a bit weird, those Americans. Do you know what I mean? They're smart, but they're stupid at the same time.
Well, my question would be not how can they be so dumb. My question is, how can you be so unpatriotic? Because that's what it is. You've thrown patriotism out the window. You've put this man ahead of your country. Because you know, I mean, what happened on Sunday is not good for the country. I mean, it's very damaging.
Well, okay, I agree with you, but that's not how they think. They think, isn't it ironic?
Of course not.
They think the irony of what you've just said and what we've said a million times, the irony is they think they're hyper-patriotic. They think the opposite.
That's it. I know. They talk themselves into it. It's crazy. That's why you said the other day, you've tried to cleanse yourself. I forget the term. From a lot of this Trump stuff. And I find that now, too. If I'm just clicking around and I happen on CNN or any of these stations and they're talking about them, I get a knot in my stomach and I just want to move on. Because there's nothing, it's not going to change. And this is going to go on for 4 years. And really, I don't want to be part of that because I just find it so aggravating and so hypocritical and so... Just, you know, the way they beat their chest, the, you know, greatest country on earth. And listen, there's a story here this morning about a little Alabama girl, I think 7 years old, selling lemonade to fund her brain surgery.
Yeah.
So, listen, I could be wrong, but I have a pretty good, I feel pretty confident saying that any 7-year-old in Canada who needs brain surgery would get it and not get a bill. So, you know, the greatest country on earth. So a kid's selling lemonade to fund her brain surgery. And there's a bit of an uproar on it, but it gets right back to the health care and people pushing back against it. And it's only for the rich or those that have means. You're not the greatest country on earth. That shows you right there. You're not. Far from it.
You know, they are. But I was having this conversation last night on a podcast, this kid that asked me to be on his show. And we were talking about not American politics, but he asked me, what's the difference between Canada and the U.S. in certain areas? And I said, I'm going to give you this. I said, America is one of the most charitable countries in the world. They are incredibly altruistic. They are very charitable when it comes to, you know, helping one another. And I said, but the comma in that sentence is Americans are the most charitable country in the world, comma, because they have to be. Because in Canada, that kid isn't setting up a lemonade stand to fund her brain surgery. You know, there'll be an outpouring of people. I'm always reading about Americans. Oh, so-and-so sent a check for this and that. But as I said to him, you have to be charitable because there's no social safety net.
Mm-hmm. No, that's a good point.
But it is one of their most admirable qualities. You know, they have that. But part of it is because it's built into the culture because for years you've had to be. You know, when that thing happened in Texas, you know, AOC raising money, all this stuff, that sounds great. It's Americans and that can-do spirit. But, you know, maybe it would have been better if the grid didn't go down.
Mm-hmm. And the patriotism thing, it's like at some point you would think the polarization and the infighting and you say up and I say down, you'd think for the betterment of the country, at some point they'd reach across the aisle, like have a meeting, like get together. Like, I mean, seriously. Although talk about the... go ahead.
No, I just want to interject quickly. And one of the conversations I had with this kid yesterday on his podcast was about, you know, how we're coming up to the 1-year anniversary of this pandemic and they still haven't had a fucking check there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The greatest country in the world. I said, you still haven't been able to give your citizens any help because of what you just said. Have a meeting.
You know, and I'm torn with that because I don't understand that either. Because I would, you know, if I was a Republican, sometimes I would have to raise the question, why within this bill is there some obscure designation for the arts or something. Like, that I don't understand either. I mean, I got to be honest. You know, I hate the Republicans and I hate Trump right now and on and on and on. But, you know, sometimes you do a little research and it's like, yeah, well, that's a bit of a head scratcher because I can't understand this either. Like, why isn't this just a clean bill to look after the people that need it? I don't get it. It's just, again, part of the politics.
Well, and we've had that conversation before. Why couldn't they just put in the stimulus bill checks for people who are having to line up for food in the greatest country in the world?
I know.
And but it's not just a Republican issue. And Noel's coming up here. I know we spent the last half hour talking about Trump. Now we're going to spend more time talking about him. It's not a Republican issue. It's how they do business there. Whatever they have, whenever there's a bill, they just, I don't know, there's a term for it. Is it pork barreling? Is that the term? Where you include a bunch of other stuff. In order, it's so weird. In order for you as a lawmaker to go along with the bill, you have to put in something in the bill that will benefit your constituents. Which is great, but in this case, it's now been almost 12 months, and Noel will be able to tell us. I think they've given out $600 in checks.
Yeah, there's pork barreling, there's earmarking, there's all those terms, but, and you're right, you know, in our day-to-day business, sometimes you ram that stuff into, you know, get a stroke from your own constituency and whatever, but this is different. This
yeah,
is a
it's
world,
different.
This is a national crisis. Clean it up and move on.
And isn't it weird that they, like, here, you know, we got all these problems here in Canada and our vaccine is shit, but 2 or 3 weeks, Phil, and you can tell me, after this thing became a thing, we were sending out those $2,000 CERB checks to people.
That's right. Yeah. And we all got money, by the way. It wasn't just CERB checks. We were given, like, extra HST rebate and stuff.
Right.
So we were given, like, $600 a person or something like that.
I even heard Fred something. Go ahead, Freddie.
No, and payroll tax. I mean, our business got a break on payroll tax for a couple of months. It was almost instantaneous. Our flaw is a bunch of people are going to have to pay it back.
Well, some small businesses in Canada, ours included, got some help from the government. Now we have to pay it back. But still, it all happened. It wasn't like the Trudeau government went, okay, we're going to send you guys some checks, but also we want to put up a pretend theater outside of, you know, it wasn't like, let's... And the community.
and a highway to Banff.
There was so much stuff we were going to get to, but we're going to get to Noel. At some point today, we're going to get to the Jing Jing thing. Phil put together a little, you know, tribute to your Zoom glitch yesterday. Is everything working now, Phil? Is the Facebook thing working? Because I've got too many things open on my screen now.
Absolutely. Well, the one thing is, listeners are wondering how, if you could rearrange the windows so Fred's right beside you.
Okay. Where
so
is
just drag? So you drag on Fred's face and push him up,
But Phyllis, on my screen, he's right beside me.
Unless you changed it, you know, within the past 5 minutes or so.
Okay, well, okay. Does that do anything? I'm just going to start throwing. Let me know when Fred's beside me.
Oh, it may take a couple minutes, but I'll let you know.
Okay. You know who's amused by this? Noel Castler. He's like, I thought this shit was professional. Noel's like, you guys were more professional when you were on the radio. Because we're not on the radio anymore. We fired those bitches.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thanks. Colt, Noel, just stand by. Fred, you're just doing all the regular stuff. CDN, yes. Of course, we've taken care of CDN because Phil is hanging out in the CDN studios. We'll talk to Phil about all the stuff that they're doing. Why don't you do your thing? I'll do my thing, and then we'll introduce Noel.
Absolutely. The Chambers of Commerce Group Insurance Plan, Canada's number one group benefits plan for small business. Go to chamberplan.ca, get a free quote. I'll tell you, it's a great thing to do for the people, your people, of your small company. They can design a plan for you. So it doesn't matter how big your company is. Tell them how big it is, how much you can afford. They will design a plan suited for your company. Now, this is prescriptions. This is dental coverage if you want it, travel insurance, the Teladoc system, best doctor system, so many things. You know, on that other side, you know, therapies and what have you, it all depends on the actual program you get. It's all there, all available, all very affordable for small business. Chambers Plan is Canada's leading group benefit plan for small companies, one to say 100 employees. It's all there. Go today. Go there today. Chamberplan.ca. Click on the badge. Get a free quote. Chamberplan.ca.
If you're looking to purchase a new home or condo, the new home buyer guide are here to help find the latest new condos and home developments in Condo Life, Homes, and Active Life magazines. All free to read at nexthome.ca, or you can pick up free copies at thousands of street boxes, tons of local retailers, and at TTC subway stations. Condo Life, Homes, and Active Life are the largest source for new homes and condos, featuring new construction, beautiful model homes, suites, and articles from the experts, builders, promotions, and more. Get your free copy of Condo Life, Homes, and Active Life, and find your new home today. Or for more information, visit them at nexthome.ca. All right. Well, Fred, you had some extra information about our guest this morning. It turns out his mom was a bank robber. and then later in life, he worked with the president of shitting himself. And here he is. I don't know where this ranks in his career achievements, but he's now our regular monthly correspondent from All Things America. Please say hello to our friend Noel Kassler. Noel Kassler.
Hey, ladies. Good to be here.
Good to see you. Somebody, I guess it was a listener, right, Fred? Somebody sent us a podcast that you were on.
Yeah, the Judy Gold podcast, Kill Me Now.
Absolutely, yeah.
And yeah, and she had done some research on your life, and I was listening to some of it. It's pretty fascinating, from your mom being a bank robber to your grandfather being part of the Nixon administration, to your other grandmother being chums with Julia Child. It's like crazy stuff.
Yeah, it was kind of a wild upbringing and a wild life, you know. I talk about that stuff, I guess not that often, you know, and Judy Gold is a great comedian down here in the United States, and she sort of dug deep on that, you know, but yeah, it's been a wild ride so far.
Yeah, Fred asked me if I knew who Judy Gold was. She sort of was of the vintage, I think, I want to say, of Seinfeld, of the sort of the early Catch a Rising Star comedians. Was she not a contemporary of those people?
She absolutely is, and she was like a writer on Rosie O'Donnell's show, things like that. She was sort of big in the 90s. She's still big. I mean, she plays theaters down here and stuff, but yeah, she's of that ilk.
So is your mom still in the big house? Or
No. She got out. This was in the 80s, you know? It wasn't like she was Jesse James or anything, you know? This is the early 80s. She had a drug issue and, you know, a serious drug problem that she was trying to keep secret. So to pay for her habit, she would walk into banks and write on a little note, "Give me the money in the drawer or I'm going to blow it up. I have a hand grenade in my purse."
Wow.
And she never...
That doesn't get you life in prison? Wow.
No, she never had a hand grenade, you know, so it was really just creative fiction.
Isn't that one of your amendments? You got to be the right to carry a hand grenade, man.
Exactly.
I just wonder, though, you know, Fred and I are both parents, and how does that conversation go when your mom says, Noel, you've left your clothes on the floor again. You're like, didn't you just rob a fucking bank?
Exactly. It goes kind of like that, actually. Well, what happens, she did it several times, and, you know, the FBI ended up kicking down the door one Saturday morning and dragging her away. So she went off to prison. I didn't see her again for about 5 years, but
that you tell that story too. The FBI, they came right into your room and stuck a gun in your face or something.
Yeah, they stuck a gun in my face and said, "Freeze, FBI." And I was laying in bed, and I happened to have a big picture of Keith Richards on my wall, because back then you could get the record promos from the store, and Tattoo You had come out a few years. So I got the big, like, alternative one with Keith's face with the tattoos. And the guy looks at me, sees this little kid under a blanket looking scared, and then he looks at my wall and he goes, "You like the Stones?" And I go, "Yeah." And he goes, "All clear in here." And he just out of the room and leaves. And I don't know what's going on. And then I hear him banging on the other door. And then my mom's in the bathroom and they're like, "Come on out, FBI, you know?" And she's like, "I'm getting dressed." And they don't want to hear that. So they drag her out of there. You know, here's the funny thing, and I'll shut up. I ended up touring with the Rolling Stones. You know, I was a road manager for them on the GER tour, probably, you know, 8 years ago or whatever, in the early 2012 or something. And every night, like Keith Richards, you know, I'd go in the front of the audience and Keith's guitar would be flying over me. And I'd be like, "Man, I've come a long way."
Yeah, I'd say.
I would think of that night, you know.
Now, you say you didn't see your... Go ahead, friend.
No, I was just going to say, so how does that work that your mom does it more than once, like bank robbery? Like, what's the longest term she served?
She was in prison for... it all kind of is foggy. I think she was sentenced to seven and did 5 years. You got to understand, she was from a middle class white woman in America. So she got sent to, she'd never had gotten in trouble before. Her father was an NSA analyst. I shouldn't talk about the, she's probably watching on Facebook, you know, but as I said, my one grandfather was Nixon's envoy to Vietnam. My other grandfather was an analyst for the NSA, you know, Phi Beta Kappa, Harvard guy. So she came from an upstanding family that everyone was sort of in denial about how bad her alcoholism and drug addiction was. So there was, you know, it was one of those weird things that happened, but they tend to go lighter on white people in my country, you know.
Really?
We
hadn't noticed that, Noel, you know, because of all those white people that have had their, you know, been choked out by police on video. Exactly. You know, I'm so sick of seeing white people harassed by the police down there. Exactly. What I wanted to ask you said that 5 years went by and you didn't see her. Did you not, I don't want to get too deep into this, but you just not visit her because she didn't want to be visited, or you didn't want to visit her?
It was actually, that's incorrect. I did go visit her once in prison, and she was in Alderson, West Virginia, which is a federal prison for women. It's where... it's where they sent Martha Stewart. They called it Camp Cupcake. You know, there aren't even like fences around it. Like she worked as part of an EMT corps and left during the day. So I went there. It's as close to a country club as a prison could be. The one interesting thing is Squeaky Frome is in that prison, the woman who tried to kill Nixon and Jimmy Page. So my mom and her friends would put on the White Album and like watch Squeaky freak out.
That's funny.
Squeaky tried to kill Ford though, wasn't it?
And Jimmy Page. She went to jail for trying to kill Ford, but she'd also tried to assassinate Jimmy Page, which in my mind is a greater.
way worse. For you people that are new, Noel has been gracious enough to give us his time now the last couple, 3 months. We ran into Noel. I follow Noel on Twitter. I reached out, and part of what Noel has done in his life, as a lot of the regulars know now, is he worked on The Apprentice with Donald Trump for 6 years. And what we like to do, and we didn't mean to, if you listen back, the first 20 minutes of the show, we were just kind of getting started and ended up talking about American politics. But lately, to be honest, Noel, we really haven't been as into it, because part of it is things have calmed down a bit. That's what it feels like. Is that what it feels like to you?
It does.
CPAC aside, I'm just talking about the first 40 days of the Biden administration.
Absolutely. It's become boring again in a welcome way, you know, and like you mentioned, CPAC, they're trying to ramp it up, and we can discuss that if you want. But we've sort of leveled off, you know, boring policy decisions, boring press conferences. That's what you want. You don't want to have to be paying attention to this stuff all day. You want to stay informed and read the newspaper, but it shouldn't be this O.J. Simpson Bronco case that it was for the last 4 years.
That's right.
Yeah, it is. It's excuse me. Go ahead, Howard.
I was just going to say, I've had this feeling for the last month and a half where I don't wake up every morning before the show looking at my phone to see what else has gone wrong overnight.
Yeah, well, that's the refreshing thing, too, is I often put on the CBS Evening News, and now it's like it's policy stuff, and it's like, got nothing to do with me, not interested, right. And I move on, where before it was like, geez, the world could be threatened here. I better listen to this nonsense.
Absolutely. I agree. And it's welcome. You know, it's a welcome respite from the horrors we've been living through. But I also fear that we didn't sort of, you know, by acquitting Trump in the Senate and by not really cracking down on this, on the you know, mendacity of Fox News and all these, you know, sort of mouthpieces for Trumpism, that it's ramped up again. You know, I feel like Sunday was a kickoff for the next 2 years of hell, you know.
Well, I don't know if you're a Harry Potter fan, but Voldemort doesn't die for like three movies.
Right. No, exactly.
It takes a while. You think he's gone, and right. Then the Half-Blood Prince comes back and some other shit happens. But we were just talking about the fact that Donald Trump is who he is. You've explained it. I've read this. You know, we all read the Mary Trump book, whatever. It's the people around him that are a bit of a curiosity. Maybe you can put into context what the way senators and congressmen work in terms of their fundraising. Is that what sort of informs the decisions they make? They have to raise money every day, so they need to do something to get people interested in giving them money. Am I wrong?
No, you're absolutely right. It's all about the money, and it's all about raising the money. And now there's something dangerous happened yesterday that people should pay attention to. Brad Parscale filed paperwork to start another PAC, Political Action Committee, which means he can now take in all the money that the Republican Party raises. That's why Trump asked for money in his speech on Sunday, which was a first. He'd never really asked for money directly before, and he did on Sunday. So basically, they want to control the purse strings to all the Republican candidates that are going to run in the congressional midterms and all the would-be presidential candidates. So yes, they are thirsty for money on a daily basis, and basically they're going to try to funnel all that money through Trump now. So without his blessing, you're not getting access to the purse strings, and that's going to be even more suffocating than Trumpism has sort of already been in that party, because you have no choice but to go through Mar-a-Lago and kiss his ring or something worse if you want to, you know, if you want to get a campaign rolling. And that's going to, you know, that's just going to steamroll any kind of, you know, any kind of like contrary opinions to what he says goes. And that's just terrifying.
And you see what's going to happen. It's going to be the typical, you know, yo-yo, probably in the midterms. The Republicans will do better than you think because it'll be backlash to a current sitting government. That even happens here in Canada. And then we're going to have to go through two excruciating years between 22 and 24 watching what he does and the Democrats trying to get the House back. And it really is a good time to just pull away from it all.
Yeah, it is. I use the Democratic terms as a chance to like get into something else during Obama.
Yeah, take up a hobby.
When Obama was president, I was doing yoga and touring with Crosby, Stills, and Nash, you know, and playing guitar. I was like, I don't need to pay attention.
That's this so guy funny.
Same with Clinton, you know.
When the Democrats are in control, that's when people start a second business. They maybe do a new relationship. Speaking of Obama, I don't know if I said this yesterday, Freddie, but I listened to Obama and Springsteen, yes, who have a podcast. And in the first, I don't know, 8 to 10 minutes of listening to Barack Obama talk and interact with Bruce Springsteen, you just go, oh, that's what smart people sound like. You know, but kind smart people, not dinky smart people. Noel, back to the idea that in politics there, that money fuels everything. I don't think people realize, and maybe you and I were talking about this, about how much money a lawmaker, a high-level U.S. politician has to raise on a daily basis. And now I know that it turned out to be fake, that thing about Ted Cruz raising money with his Mexican trip, but not far off the truth.
Absolutely. And that's the, you know, politics in America was essentially broken with the Citizens United ruling in the Supreme Court, you know, which was basically the Koch brothers sued to allow unlimited amounts of corporate donations to be given to any political candidate. It used to be, you know, there was checks and balances on how much money an individual could buy because they would get undue influence, you know. Once that changed everything, it became all about how much you know, you're able to buy politicians, yeah. You know? And so if you're running against a guy who's got $80 million, you know, because the coal company in West Virginia wants him to be the next governor, and you're a guy grassroots knocking on doors, you don't stand a chance because that guy's buying advertising.
And I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, Freddie, but we don't have a CPAC kind of mechanism here in Canada. And I don't think people understand, I certainly didn't until I read about it, that Donald Trump created this other PAC, or we're talking about creating a super PAC, they call it, where the person, the individual, has access to that money, where, Freddie, here, doesn't it have to go to the party?
Well, there's restrictions. I mean, I can't give you detail, but
I wish you would.
The fundraising restrictions here are a lot tougher. Mm. I mean, that's aggravating. And attached to that now, I think, is how a normal guy goes into one of those jobs in Congress and the Senate making $175,000 a year and comes out a millionaire a few times over.
Yeah, worth $20 million.
When are they going to look into that? Like, it just does not add up. How are they getting this money? Where it's coming from? Nobody seems to want to ask those questions.
Absolutely. And that's the answer. You know, like Mitch McConnell is worth $20 million right now. He's been a senator since the 80s. He didn't have two dimes to run together, you know, but rub together. But Deripaska is giving him money. You know, there's a Russian oligarch backing him because he wants pieces of the coal mines in Kentucky. So all those policies that Mitch McConnell has been in favor of that has made Kentucky the last, you know, the second to last in education in the United States, the lowest health care, you know, the lowest like crime, you know, crime, all kinds of horrible things, because that guy has been the senator for, you know, 35 years. And all he's cared about is appeasing the one or two people that are making him wealthy.
Well, even the way the everything rolled out in Texas, and then there's a perfect example of American politics putting party first and people way, way in the back. I don't think, again, Canadians really didn't understand that there's a grid that exists for the country, but Texas has its own power grid somehow, and because of some political bullshit, a bunch of people were left without heat.
Yeah,
and the fact perfect, that America. Go ahead.
No, they didn't want to be regulated. You know, they pulled back from the national grid, which, say, if something happened like happened last week, we would be able to push in, you know, power from Minnesota. Oh, you need power? We'll just throw some down your way, right? They pulled themselves out of a national grid network of electrical wires because they didn't want to be regulated, you know?
They don't want, that's socialism.
Yeah.
Exactly. But then run into trouble, and what's the first thing they do?
Ask
for help, which is a level of socialism.
And Freddie, that's kind of what that's what I was getting at when it was just you and I talking about how Americans are the most charitable country in the world, because they have to be, because the social structure just isn't there. Do you know how bizarre that was for the rest of us looking at that situation in Texas going, what? Is this the third world, apparently, that you can't, you got people lining up for fresh water?
Absolutely. Look, there's a 7-year-old girl who's raising money with a lemonade stand for brain surgery.
Yeah, that's what Freddie said. Yeah.
You know, it's insane.
What a proud moment.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. It is a third world country. Yeah,
and by the way, not to be too crass, but I don't think, you know, you got to sell a lot of lemonade for brain surgery. No offense, kid. I mean, that's
you think?
Listen, I had a procedure in the States a year ago, Noel. My insurance covered it. It was just a sort of a minor operation. I would have had to sell a lot of lemons for that, too. Trust me.
But further to that, Howard, and I'll do a follow up on that story today. You know, it speaks to what you said about Americans can be very charitable. Her getting that publicity now, you can bet the GoFundMes and the donations around that kid will probably get her brain surgery and, you know, and be the better for it. So I'm sure that's how that's going to unfold.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, it'll have a happy ending. But like Howard and you, Fred said, like... it shouldn't be on the American people to have a GoFundMe page.
You know, somebody's
electric bill shouldn't be $10,000 for a week, which is what they did in Texas. They jacked up the bills based on demand. That's the, we don't want any regulation. You know, mm-hmm. if you have regulation, you can only charge people a certain amount of money for a kilowatt hour. You know, these guys were like, we want to charge whatever we want.
Well, listen, Noel, it's there. I want to ask you this question because you've grown up around smart people. You've grown up around, let's just say, wealthy white people with brains. And I just wonder, when you guys are having, you know, bright people conversations and these things come up. I mean, I know every time you're on, we sound exasperated, but it must be exasperating for you, too. But how does the conversation go? Hey, there's a little girl who has to raise money to pay for her an operation in America. How does that connect with all of y'all?
I think people think, wow, that's a shame. Let me go back to like worrying about my own life. You know, like that's messed up. I wish I could change it. Things are bad, but I'm putting in a new gazebo this spring, you know, and my kid just got into Smith. You know, I think, you know, you talked about my mom before. You know, my mom was kind of the black sheep of my family in the 70s and 80s. And she had me at 19. My dad left when I was 4. So we lived on the wrong side of the tracks. You know, when I was a kid, I lived outside of DC in a predominantly black neighborhood, and my friends were of mixed race, you know? So I saw how hard the struggle is if you're not born white, if you're not born into a wealthy, educated family. Then I was taken from that. You know, when my mom went to prison, I moved in with my grandparents up here in Westchester County, where I am now, which is a wealthy kind of upscale suburb of New York City. So I saw both of those worlds firsthand, and I saw how little empathy there was in the white community, if you will. Like, people mean well, but they don't really understand how hard it is to be poor, how hard it is to have systematic racism stacked against you. And it's very easy to say, well, if they just worked harder, if they just got a job, if they just didn't, you know, rob that liquor store or, you know, use drugs or whatever. I think without empathy, which I think is very lacking in our culture, because as we've discussed on this show before, we're sold this myth of rugged individualism and John Wayne bootstrap stuff. That's impossible if you're not born into the right circumstances. You know, if you're poor in this country, it's very hard to ever not be poor. When you're making $7 an hour, look at the minimum wage thing that they blocked this past week. You can't live on less than $15 an hour, you know, but... Sorry.
Yeah. And it's so systemic because, see, here is systemic from the standpoint we've had public health for so long. It's just part of, it's just the way we think. It's just, we assume someone's in trouble medically, they're looked after. And that's what you say is so systemic there. You've never had it. So those people that are privileged and do have health care, they can't, they know, it's not even in their brain to think or worry about somebody without it.
Right.
It's sad from that standpoint.
Yeah.
It is. And it's sad, like, you think, like, well, something really, they must have done something really wrong to end up there.
Yeah, exactly. You know? What they did wrong was being born in Kentucky in some, you know, small town versus in Westchester County. It's the gift of, you know, geography.
Exactly. I mean, how you're born determines, you know, how your life is going to end up. It's more basically in a caste system.
You know, I had this conversation briefly with, I was on this kid's podcast from out of Tampa yesterday, and we were talking about this subject. And I said, you know, until I moved to the States, I was 25 when I did, and I was there for parts of 4 years. And I said, until I was 25, I'd never experienced the insecurity of not having access to any kind of medical intervention that I needed. And I said, Americans are so used to that. A lot of the country without health care, it's just a stress that we never, ever have. It's never part of our, you know, sort of shadowy worry. And when this pandemic hit last year, that's why it exacerbated, I'll use that word again, all the holes in the system, because those hourly workers without benefits, they got sick, they couldn't afford, on and on and on. And we just don't have that here.
I know, because you have a rational society. You know, you have the basic understanding, and it's to be applauded. And some, you know, European nations have this same thing too, Denmark and Scandinavia, that you can't let people dip below a certain point. You know, I was in New York City yesterday. I saw guys carrying all their possessions on shopping carts, and they're everywhere now. You know, they're homeless people, they're housing, you know, whatever the proper liberal term is, you know, housing challenge. There are people walking the streets with everything they own in a shopping cart in the freezing cold in winter. Other countries would be like, that can't happen. You know, we need to go get those people off the streets. But in America, it can happen in front of a building that has a $20 million apartment in it.
Yeah.
You know, because people become numb to that suffering that you just described. You know, it's like, well, I had to struggle and I got health insurance now. So kind of screw that other guy or step over him, you know, and we've gotten too good at stepping over people.
And, you know, and let's not kid ourselves. I mean, that goes on in the city of Toronto as well, not to the numbers. And the difference being there is somewhat of a social safety net available to those people in Toronto that isn't available to people in the United States. You know, it's a lot like the mask thing, too. I heard the analogy the other day. You know, if we're part of a society, you can't really pick and choose which part of the society you want to sort of opt in and opt out of. Like with the mask thing, it's like, you know, society basically has decided together we're going to get through this. Well, you can't pick that one thing and go, I'm not part of this. Yeah, and I think you get more of that in the United States, too. We have more of a together or for the betterment of all feel here because, you know, we get some anti-maskers here, but not to that extent. Because people generally have the attitude like, hey, I'm part of this society in Canada and I got to do my part. I might not totally believe in it, but hey, I got to do my part.
That's well said, you know, and for some reason in America, it's like we can come together when we can come together in aggression towards somebody else. Right. After 9/11, 20 years ago, it was like, hey, everybody take their shoes off at the airport now. OK, no problem. You know, none of those anti-maskers had a problem watching grandma get strip searched because she had a fucking nail file in her purse. That is,
you know, one guy with a something, a device in his shoe. We're all taking off our shoes. But for some reason, you guys rally around that, but you won't put a mask on to go in the grocery store.
But you want to know why? Because of those brown people over in the Middle East.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I'm saying. We can right.
Those are the people we got to watch.
Yeah, nothing.
So they were all in on that.
Nothing's more exciting to Americans than hating brown people.
That's what I'm saying. Oh, we can kick ass? Hell yeah. Right. We're all in this together. We're Americans. Oh, wait, there's an airborne virus that if you cough on the guy next to you, you might kill him? Hey, that ain't proven.
That's bullshit. You know, and it's so weird. Like, how did you, I think it was 3,000 or so people died on that day. The most incredible day. Freddie and I were on the air. It was an amazing, you know, experience. Horrible day. And yet, for a while there last year, that many people were dying every day. And for some weird reason, it didn't have the same impact.
And
you would never imagine. Yeah, there was some 9/11, you know, conspiracies, but not on the day it happened. On the day it happened, people weren't going, I don't believe the building. I don't believe the buildings came down.
I know.
Fake. Those planes were fake.
Because it was a violent thing, you know, and we understand violence in this country. You know, it was easy to illustrate, you know, it was dramatic and horrible. And you saw a building blow up and you saw people fall to their deaths, you know, and you saw firemen get killed and, you know,
right. 300. It's not like the people came out of the building coughing a little bit and then later died.
And look who's dying. It's like you said before, it's workers, you know, it's low wage brown and minority workers. It's old people that we don't take care of our senior citizens in this country either. We pack them off to these horribly run, you know, old folks homes. And that's who was dying. You know, it wasn't if Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders were dying, we would have put on masks. Quicker. You know,
football players
were dying.
If more pretty people had died earlier, Noel, your country would have been in a much better position.
Yeah. You know, Noel, on some levels, I feel bad we invite you on and to beat up on your country.
Yes, that's what we do.
No, I know. And I feel bad because the thing is, you know, it takes. Well, you know what? It takes guts to do what you do because there are problems. And the only way you fix problems is to identify those problems. And, you know, a lot of what you say, you know, we know here in Canada and, you know, I mean, these are big problems in the United States that have to be addressed. And, you know, you could go the Trump way or the Republican way and pretend those problems don't exist, but they do.
They absolutely do, and you have to address it. Ultimately, I love this country, you know, and I love the future generations that are going to inherit this country that we're mismanaging to the point of crisis right now. Mm-hmm. So you have to speak up. It's out of love. You know, you can't turn your back on it, you know.
Well, and, you know, we haven't talked a lot about this with you, but we've spoken about it some on our show. You know, we've got some stuff here in Canada that we should be incredibly ashamed of, the way we the way we treat our Indigenous people. Most Canadians don't want to talk about it because it's not, you know, top of mind. And I mean, we really are, you know, you want to talk about how you treat your most vulnerable citizens. We don't do a great job with those people. We don't have, what I'm trying to say is we're not way better than you. We just think we are. We think we're, we do. With Canadians, this kid asked me a great question last night. He said, what do Canadians, do you guys think you're better than Americans? And I said, not better. I said, I think Canadians feel a quiet superiority because of all the things we've talked about today, but also, and what Fred said, we have a feeling of nationalism, call it socialism if you want, but we have a national perspective that's not rallying around a football game. Yes, we have different people in different parts of the country, but in America, each state is like its own country. Where in Canada, we have a tendency to have a national sense of humor, a national sense of self that I think, and Freddie, we've talked about this, we're actually, turns out, more patriotic than you guys are.
Oh, I think so. And the thing is, it gets back to that systemic thing. And I think a lot of it comes from the birth of our national healthcare system. We're in this together. We're looking after each other on the most basic level, our health, and then we work from there. And I know Americans often, you know, accuse Canada of being socialist, and they take shots at Trudeau, and maybe he's open for those, but they often make fun of us based on exactly what they need. Mm-hmm. It's very ironic.
Absolutely. And can I just say something?
Yeah, no,
in admiration of your nation, you know, you have an understanding of coming together in your humanity and not being afraid to celebrate that. And a great example would be, you know, Gord Downie, when Tragically Hip played that final concert and it was simulcast all across Canada. I cry when I watch it because villages up in the north were watching it, you know, big cities, Ottawa, Kingston, everybody was coming out in the streets. They were all singing along in celebration and admiration of an artist, you know. And that was something so beautiful, it moved me to tears, because there's a strength in that. You know, there's a humanity, there's a spirituality, you know, there's a togetherness in just coming together to realize we're human, you know, and we have frailties. We don't do that in this country. We'd be ashamed to sing all at once, you know. So, well,
and it's funny because I grew up, you know, only wanting to move to America. It was what I dreamed of. I wanted to live in the States, and it was an interesting experience for a guy in his mid-20s. But I've been thinking about this recently, and again, I don't want this all to be about bashing your country, but I wouldn't move back to America now for really any reason other than the fact that, you know, there's some warm places to live, but honestly, it's like we were enamored as Canadians growing up, and we were always a bit self-conscious about being the small country next to this big world power. But we don't think that way like we used to. I don't. What do you think, Freddie? I don't think we have that self-consciousness about America we used to.
I agree, you know, and it's an evolution. You know, before you came on, Noel, we were talking about this, and tell me if you think it's naive, but it gets to the point where America seems so polarized now and is so bitter on each side towards the other. I said to Howard, they need a meeting. They need to sit in a room and say, okay, listen, this has gotten to the point now where it's not good for anybody.
Yeah, it's not working anymore.
We've got to come together in the middle a bit for the betterment of the country. Screw Donald Trump, screw Republicans, screw Democrats, screw the squad, whatever. What we have to do now is think of country first. So let's move into the middle. Why can't they have that meeting?
Well, because you're right. We need that meeting. We need a giant four step. If you know anything about recovery, you know,
yes.
We all have a lot of resentments we need to write out, and we need to tell our sponsor why we're mad about this, and we need to learn how to pray for the other person. It's exactly what you said. We need a healing. It's what I was saying about you guys coming together and singing. You haven't gotten as spiritually sick as we have as a nation.
Yeah, it's time for America to make amends.
Exactly.
And the Noel. sad th- And the sad thing is, those people that still support him, they have no idea the damage that that man did to the country. Forget the stock market. Forget the job numbers. Just the damage he did to the spirit of that country. It's just, like, it's overwhelming when you think about it.
And let's just take that as a sort of a final subject matter. We began by saying lots of smart people know better. Donald Trump is who he is. He surrounds himself with people that went to the Ivy League. But when Donald Trump's up there, and of course, he's, you know, the big lie about the election, but he keeps saying, I built the best economy the world's ever seen. Those smart people know he didn't do that. And yet, because of fundraising and whatever the association with Donald Trump does for them, they go along with that, even though they know it's wrong. And to me, I find that the most reprehensible part of it all. They just know better.
And it's well said. And it's why Donald Trump is almost the perfect beast for everything that is wrong in America. Because, look, when I worked for him, they knew he wasn't a billionaire, too. That was all an illusion. And NBC went along with it because there was money to be made. Because people in red states started tuning in and being like, this guy's a billionaire and he's married to a supermodel. We better watch this and learn something. Yeah. There was nothing to learn. He was a drug addict wearing Depends, you know, who was hitting on his own daughter. Like, he was a reprehensible idiot. And everyone knew it. But there was money to be made off of the illusion. And that's ultimately the American story. There's money to be made off of the illusion that we're this democratic superpower.
That's right.
No, we're not. We're a divided, racist nation. It's like a lot of problems.
George Carlin line. You know, they call it the American dream because you got to be asleep to believe it.
Exactly.
Noel, what a pleasure, man. Thanks for dropping in. We certainly appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. It's always a pleasure. Congratulations on the new Freedom and podcast, and I look forward to coming back soon if you'll have me.
Well, anytime. As we say goodbye, here's a little tattoo you for you, brother. There you go.
Nice.
Noel, at Noel Kassler is how you keep up with what Noel's doing. This Judy Gold podcast is out there. Go listen to that. And we'll see you in a month's time, my friend. Take care.
You got it, brother. Bye, Howard.
All right, man.
Bye,
Fred. All right, okay, Paul. See ya. Just let yourself out. We have no more breaks now. It's just talking for hours and hours.
Enjoy. See you next month, man.
Okay, man. Take care.
Bye.
I want to talk to you about Onyx Hospitality, if I may.
Proceed.
Last night, I had a beautiful dinner, Onyx food. Now, when Rachel's not here, you know, I try and limit my food. You know, I try and eat like a normal person. And when she's not here. Okay, so last night, I was really hungry. And so I had the Korean, this is true, I had the Korean sticky short ribs. But I also had one of the chicken dinners, but just the chicken part, because I was hungry. Okay? I would never do that. It seemed like a lot of food, but it was really good. And the vegetables were beautiful because the meals are prepared from scratch. The ingredients are fresh. I don't know how they do it. Like, the potatoes are they like, it's like you just made it. If you order by Saturday at midnight, it's delivered to your home by Monday at 7 o'clock. It saves on shopping, reduces the amount of time in the kitchen. They also offer home, office, and production studio catering. You can get the discount codes. Go to humbleandfredradio.com, click on Onyx Hospitality, and find out more. Onyx Hospitality, O-N-Y-X, hospitality.ca.
Let me tell you about Gig Sky.
Do it.
Okay, since we've entered the lockdown again and everyone is at home sharing their home internet service with all their connected devices, Gig Sky available to help augment your service and avoid slow internet connections. It's a great idea. Your eSIM-enabled device can use Gig Sky service, and not just your iPhone or Android phones. iPads and Windows 10 PCs with cellular service can also use the Gig Sky eSIM. And then for large groups, we have the Gig Sky hotspot, okay? The Gig Sky SIM can connect up to 32 devices to share the data plan of your choice. Go to humbleandfredradio.com, click on the Gig Sky badge, find out all about the hotspot, how it works, what's available. You can save some dough, okay? An exclusive discount code, enter HF120 for $5 off a plan of $20 or more, okay? Any questions, gigsky.com, or get there through humbleandfredradio.com. Gigsky.com.
Do you, I know you and Dahl sit together, you know, you dish up or food up. What do you do?
Dish up.
Dish up, man. Mm-hmm. Dish up. And then you sit down in front of the television.
Mm-hmm.
And then you eat your food while you're watching TV.
Yeah, more often than we should, yes.
So I did that last night. And I do it from time to time. I don't do it with Rachel. I'm sure we'll get there.
Yeah.
I was thinking about you and me last night and the way we eat. And I think I mentioned that last week, Rachel found some, I told you, she found food on the back of my shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Like on the back.
Yeah, no big deal.
I know. No big deal for you and me, but she seemed quite, you know, and thought it was quite remarkable that I would have food on the back of my shirt.
Yeah.
Anyway, I was thinking about you last night as I sat down with this huge plate of Onyx food, and I had the short ribs and I had the chicken.
Yeah.
And I was starting to watch, I've been rewatching Game of Thrones, just I kind of got back into it, and I don't know, just.
Mm-hmm.
But I missed so much of the first part of a show because I just got my head down. Just, and I was wondering, I thought, is this what it's like for you? Like, if you want to watch something, I can't eat, and unless it's like a chicken wing or something, but I can't eat a meal like that where it's in a plate. Mm-hmm. And I kept looking up to try and see what was going on the show. Mm-hmm. While also eating.
Yeah, no, good point. Although it's usually during the news that I'm doing this, so it's not, you know, it's not like a plot or something that I have to follow. So, but I feel for you. I can imagine that would be aggravating because, you know, priorities, the food comes first.
Well,
the plot second.
Well, and because I eat so fast, and that's what made me, I was thinking about you and me last night about how we would, I said, I wonder what it's like for the Fred man when you're trying to keep track of what's going on in a show and you're just like mowing. But then I thought, I eat so quickly and Rachel's got me trying to do this thing where you know, you put your fork down in between bites.
Why would you do that?
I don't know. She does it.
I know. Sometimes I look at Dahl and I say, "Why, you don't like it with?"
I know.
Is something wrong with it? Why aren't you going at that with more gusto? And she'll say, you know, she'll absolutely. Here's what she does. If I really love a meal.
Yeah.
I inhale it.
Yeah, me too.
Because I love it so much. I don't want it to run away. She's the opposite. She may actually slow down because she loves it so much. She wants to savor it and enjoy every mouthful and take her time with it because it's so wonderful. Now, listen, that's the right way.
Yeah.
Ours is the wrong way. But again, sometimes I look at her and I'm thinking, boy, does she actually even like this? But the thing is, she's loving it, but she's enjoying it.
Yeah. And Rachel does that thing where you take a couple of bites and then you physically put it down and then you just look at the other person. The thing is, whenever she looks at me, I'm just going, la la la, he got something. Speaking of which, yes.
What, you put the fork down, is that so you chew your, like, there's another thing, I could chew more too. but you put the fork down, and what are you doing while the fork's down?
That's what I mean.
Besides looking at the other person, are you chewing more?
Well, that's the thing, is that she puts her fork down, but I don't. So she might be having conversation while I'm still mowing through it. By the way, speaking of that, Dan's here. We'll get to the Dan Duran news in a moment. I don't know what the levels are all about. By the way, the webcam we set up just crapped out literally minutes before the show, so I don't know what to do with that.
Oh,
is it possible it just spontaneously doesn't work now?
Sometimes that happens, but more than likely there's a loose cable. But, you know, we'll figure it out later.
Okay, well, maybe after the show we can troubleshoot that. So stand by for Dan Duran's news. Man, there's a lot of stuff. You know, one of the things I've wanted to, and I think a lot of people were waiting for this because of yesterday's little glitch. I know a few people mentioned it. So, Dan, I don't really need to share the sound with Fred and you anymore because it's coming off this little board, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Right. Okay, well, so here
we can hear it.
All right, well, here is the original glitch that happened. This was during yesterday's show, about 20 minutes in, and we were talking about the CPAC and Trump and Jim Jordan, And Fred started to say this following sentence.
This pig, this orange pig, is now acknowledging jing 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 jing.
As soon as that happened, I started singing along with it.
Jing 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 jing.
And it kept on happening and it kept on happening.
Jing 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 jing.
And then you had to sign back in. It happened again, which I thought was odd. So, and of course, immediately, Dan, when you heard it, same with you, Freddie, didn't it remind you of a certain song?
A certain song?
Yeah.
No, you got to remember, too, I didn't hear it.
No, but when, oh, okay. But yeah. Now that you've heard it, doesn't it remind you of something?
Yes, yes. Yes, it okay. does.
Okay. Because here's the song. The song. Yeah, this is what it reminded me of. So I
jing 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 jing.
Okay, when it really ramps up is here.
Jing 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 jing.
I gotta tell you, Freddie, I was playing around with this by myself last night. I thought we should give this to everybody.
Jing 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 jing.
You're a master remixer, man.
Oh yeah. I was like, this is what it must be like to be a DJ. Here we go.
Jing 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 jing.
Anyway, I think what we should do for our Patreon Hundy Peas, we should make that available as a ringtone, because I know a couple people said, oh, I want the Jing Jing as my ring ring. So that isn't hard to do. I just have to make it available. I guess just take it off as an MP3 and just let everyone have it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then others could do a remixy if they're into the remixing.
Well, I'm going to get that to Pete, because maybe he'll do it a little more professionally than I just screwed around with it. But
yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
All right. So that's a little fun for, you know, it's not the poon whacker, but it's fun. Is he frozen again? Are you guys both frozen now? Why is there so much freezing going on? All right, well, let's just wait for it to pass. I don't know what it is. It's my internet there. Oh, it's my internet. Hang on a second here. Yeah, sorry guys, we just got kicked out there. The internet just crapped out. So, let's see, where we're at is one of the Wi-Fi systems is down completely. Got no internet. So, you people listening to the podcast are just hearing me talking to myself while I try and get the internet to work again. Let's try this one. Well, I'm sorry, folks. You know what? It's one of those days where a bunch of stuff that could go wrong did go wrong. And I'm afraid we're going to have to... I know, obviously, the Facebook live stream is down. So it's just us now. What I'm doing is I'm... Yeah, sorry, guys.
Now it's Humble and Fred. Okay.
Sorry about that, guys.
It's the new world. These things happen. Mm-hmm.
I guess I don't know what happened. What happened is my internet went down that time. Right. Just after I'd played the Jing Jing thing, so... I guess, Dan, can you see if we're back up on Facebook? Because I don't want to go from this screen right now.
Right, I'll check my phone.
Well, that's what Dan and I were discussing. Like, if that happens to you, that would interrupt the Facebook feed, would it not?
Yes.
Yeah, everything so him stopped. And I were talking back and forth, so thinking we may still be on there.
Yeah, if you guys were talking, it was just to one another on... Because the meeting had dropped.
That's not true. It's actually, we were still on Facebook, according to our friend Bruce. Yeah.
Okay. Right on.
Yeah.
All right. Well, again, it's, you know, it's the new Zoom world and Facebook Live, and you get little glitches every so often.
Hey,
so.
Before we get glitched again, we still have a couple of us. You have one more sponsor to go?
Yes, I do. The Retirement Sherpa, Tim Niblett. Tim is a portfolio manager. Raymond James, a member of the Canadian Investors Protection Fund. Tim will be by tomorrow. It's going to be his regular Wednesday visit. And to tell you the truth, I haven't got the tee up yet exactly what he's going to be talking about, but I'm sure whatever he talks about will be very interesting, valuable information for those that, you know, have a portfolio or thinking of putting one together, or they have one and they want somebody to have a second look at it. He's the guy. I mean, there's a long list of Humble and Fred listeners who have come over to the Sherpa side, and they're very happy with the results. Because Tim, you know, he's been in the business a long time, works both sides of the borders. He's got all aspects covered. He's the guy if you need some help with your investments. RetirementSherpa.ca.
And of course, SafeTech, we've told you about this amazing alarm security company that protects this building and others, celebrating 25 years of service. SafeTech Security, number one, voted number one by consumers on Homestars. You've heard of that. They're seasoned loss prevention experts will educate you on how to best secure your property and prevent a break-in or other hazards, because they also have fire and water, and you get alerts. A free no obligation consultation. Call them 416-229-9902 or go to safetechalarms.com, safetechalarms.com. So you're all done with your stuff there, Mr. So-and-so?
Yes. Yeah, all right. Absolutely. We're up. We're caught up.
Well, then let us get to this next segment on the program. Here we go, Dan Duran.
To a fella named Dan Duran. Hell of a... Bandy, Titanic,
Bandy Will. Okay, I have no idea. Is that Dan?
Nope.
Where's that coming from? Oh, shit.
I thought for a second, I'm like, Dan's got his own theme? You know?
Yeah. I would have told you. By the way, I will tell you if I decide to bring my own theme with me.
BYOT. Okay. Dan Duran has his own theme. Well, okay. It's just been banner fucking day for me.
Well, you know.
Now, here's to a fella named Dan Duran, a hell of a guy with a hella big wang, the quintessential anchor man, his voice is nice and low. Huh. Dan Duran, the anchor man comes, as for credentials, he has none. Can't tell a headline from his bum, but his voice is nice and low. Dan Duran, the anchorman's here. He's prone to falling off his chair, but he's got a big wang, so he don't care, and his voice is nice and low.
My voice is nice and low.
Yeah. Hang on a second, Dan. Here we go. And now, I think he can tell his headline from a bum. At least his own flat bum. He may have a hell of a wang, but his backside is as flat as mine. Here's Dan Duran.
It happens.
It does.
All right, the news of the world. Here's your conspiracy theory update. QAnon is counting down to Thursday.
Yeah.
Donald Trump will be sworn in as the 19th president of the United States on that day, according to QAnon. I guess the narrative goes like this. Trump will return as the 19th president, the first legitimate president since Ulysses S. Grant, with former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo as his vice president. And the reason it's March 4th is because the original date that presidents were inaugurated was back up until 1933, when there was the passage of the 20th Amendment, which changed it because they didn't want the lame duck presidency to go on that long.
You know, those religious groups that are always talking about the end is coming. This is the day the world will end.
I was thinking that, yes.
The rapture will happen. I just wonder, because there's been a couple other QAnon dates that have come and gone. What's the vibe in the QAnon community when these things don't happen? Are they like, well, I guess the 19th president will be inaugurated on April 1st?
Well, we misinterpreted something.
That's right.
It's like
some of the signs were wrong.
Right. And actually, a lot of the QAnon influencers, apparently, in the last couple of days have said, well, this might not be quite right. It might be a false flag event created entirely by mainstream media to make the whole movement look dumb.
That's right.
They're doing it themselves.
That's what we're doing. We're making you look dumb.
Yeah.
All right.
Can I, on mainstream media, Noel touched on Fox News, just a perspective here. You know, Andrew Cuomo, that now I think there's a third charge of, you know, sexual harassment.
Yeah.
It's interesting when Trump, you know, he's been accused of rape and several sexual deviant acts. It's funny. Right-wing media, Fox, they would never, ever touch that. They would never, ever, ever go there with him.
Stormy Daniels, all that stuff.
Would never go there, you know, and this is, you know, and they call everybody else the fake news media. CNN has spent a lot of time. MSNBC has spent a lot of time on Cuomo. Yeah. Chris came on last night and said, listen, I'm aware of what's going on with my brother. Don't think I'm that naive, but it's my brother. I can't really deal with the story because it's too close. But the rest of CNN, the rest of my brothers here will deal with the subject. I thought it was, you know, upfront.
Yeah,
it was very cool. It was honest. So don't give me this bullshit from the right in Fox Media that it's CNN that has the fake news. Trump has been accused of rape.
Oh, yeah.
Never said those words on Fox.
And not only that, I mean, CNN has been all over the fact that Biden is dealing with Saudi Arabia in a way that he said he wasn't going to when he campaigned. They're talking about those issues. And, and, you know, we've said this before. You know, they talk about Fox being fair and balanced. It's, again, it's gaslighting, and they're the opposite of it. But here at our, here at Dan Duran News, Dan Duran covers all the issues, and now with his, and now with his second story, here's the same guy doing another story.
Good thing.
And now back to the desk with Dan Duran.
Yes. Prince Harry and Meghan Markle are being urged by some commentators in the UK to ask CBS to postpone the airing of its Oprah Winfrey interview, which is coming up on the 7th of March. And that's because Philip and his skeleton were moved to a
that's right. Oh, man.
A specialist heart hospital yesterday. He's 99 now.
Yeah. I have two questions. Well, one question and one perspective. First question is, does anyone give a shit about Harry and Meghan?
There's a huge contingent of the pop culture that loves the whole thing, right?
I don't get it anymore, man.
I do from this standpoint. I say good on him in particular. Because, you know, the whole thing is just so old-fashioned and it's so useless. And, well, you know how I feel about it. This is one kid. It's 2021. It's like, you know, I've had enough. I don't want to live in that world. And he, you know, and he said the biggest problem was the paparazzi. He just got tired of it. He didn't want to live there. He didn't want to live with that on his back all the time.
And that's admirable. That's great.
I agree. Totally.
I think that's admirable. But I think in light of all the other things going on the planet, you know, Oprah interviewing Meghan and Harry, who gives a shit? Secondly, my perspective on the old guy there. Mm-hmm. Fellas, all three of us, you know, looking pretty good for the age that we are. And I guarantee you, there was a time in that man's life he looked in the mirror and went, "You're doing good," but this is not one of them.
Like 30 years ago.
Yeah, I mean it. Like he was probably 30 years ago, still walking around going, "Yeah, Philip, you still look good in your uniform and blah blah blah." But he's probably looking in the mirror now, going, "Just someone shoot me, like do the right thing for God's sake."
Yeah, like obviously he's going to go in the next little while. He's 99, and then you have to wonder about her. But Howard, you're right. Like with everything else going on in the world, like who cares about that? But the answer to that is a lot. I mean, Oprah wouldn't be doing this, and it wouldn't be getting. I find it aggravating. Like I don't know why people care. It's such a useless institution, but I'll tell you, it sure grips the world.
Well, maybe Oprah should interview the little girl who's got to, you know, raise money with a lemonade stand for her brain cancer.
Howie, that's an Ellen show.
Oh, sorry. Maybe she and the cancer girl can dance around the lemonade stand.
Come on.
Dan Duran, will you favor us with a third story or are you done?
I can favor you with this story. Starbucks is adding oat milk to its menu today in the United States. This already happened in Canada in the summer, and there has been an increased demand for non-dairy alternatives. In the U.S., oat milk sales soared 170% over the past year, which is why they've moved into the tasty oat milk market.
You know, when we were kids, Dan, milk came from a beast. There was there was cows, goat's milk. But and I grew up around some of the, you know, the most wheat crops in the world. Never drove by and went, we should make milk out of that.
Right. Someday. Well, and you know, Saskatchewan is a huge producer of oats in the world.
Yes. Right.
So now you've got your rice, you got your soy, you got your oat, you got your almond.
Have you guys tried it?
Oat milk?
Yeah.
No, I've tried. I like almond milk. You know, I put that in my cereal sometime with the granola. I don't really I don't drink a lot of milk. Our buddy Lumby used to drink a lot of milk, eh? Remember Lumby? Mm-hmm. We had this buddy of ours. We would be drinking in our 20s. We'd be out for beers, and Lumby, swear to God, until he was in his early 30s, he would order a fucking milk at a bar. Like a tall glass. Yes! A tall glass of milk.
That was just in his contrary nature.
And because he looked so young, like Jeff, when we were in our 20s, Jeff looked like he was still 15.
Yeah.
And so there we were. I was drinking rum and coke in those days. I don't know what you were drinking, Dan, but Jeff would order a tall, like the largest glass of milk that he could find.
Oh, yeah. Boy, that's something. And then he discovered cigars and whiskey.
And wine. He became a sommelier, for God's sake. All right, Dan Duran's news. Fantastic. Thank you, sir.
All right.
Dan Duran brought to you by Dan Duran. For all your Dan Duran needs. I'll get a hold of you just a few minutes after this is done, okay?
All right. Enjoy the last part of the show.
Oh, okay.
I will.
All right, Dan.
Thank you, Dan.
Thank you.
One of your friends, our friends, my friend, somebody's friend, Darren Waslick, sent me this. And I want to play it because I've been saving it for, I don't know, a week now since Darren sent it to me. And it might be a pleasant way to finish off this podcast today.
I think there was a couple of sports notes we should mention, too.
Do you want to tell you what? Mm-hmm. Should we forget the song and do the sports thing?
No, we can play that after the sports break. We should do a sports break.
Okay, well, I don't have any music announcing the sports break.
No, I just want to... the sports break.
Sports break. Well, it's more than a sports story.
No, well, there's two, and I just want to say, like, last night I didn't get to sleep until going on 1 a.m. because I watched the Leafs. I've been drawn in by the Leafs. You know, I was put off by them for a long time, but I'll tell you, they've come together, increasing their record to 17-4-2 last night, running away with the North Division, or the Canadian Division of the NHL. I mean, they're really playing well. Last two games without Austin Matthews. They shut out Edmonton twice, the second-place team. They really are playing well. So I wanted to get that through. Although I saw this, there was also a survey in Canada that 63% of the people want to go back to the old way. They don't like the Canadian division. 63% of Canadians want to go back to the old divisions for whatever reason. I don't know.
Seems odd to me.
Because seems it's odd such to
a,
me as well.
Because it's such a compelling, you know, kind of thing. Although, do you have a reason you think that is it Canadians want some interaction with?
What I think it is, it's just we're not used to so many games against the same team all the time. And I think there's a bit of fatigue settling in where people, it's like, oh, we're playing them again.
Yeah.
I want to see Pittsburgh again, and I want to see, you know, whoever.
Well, there's that. I mean,
Boston. Yeah.
You know, I know Washington was playing somebody in the Sunday night game, Ovechkin. Mm-hmm. I was surprised the fact that he's still playing. But, you know, you're basically, other than seeing who's the guy, Connor McDavid in Edmonton, you're missing out a lot of the superstars that you won't be able to see in person.
Well, that's it. And, you know, from an American perspective, arguably the two best players in the league right now are Austin Matthews and Connor McDavid, and they're stuck up in Canada.
Yeah.
So, and then the other sports story was
the
Blue Jays, you know, like, well, Rogers, like Bell, throwing in the towel on broadcasting, forgetting about the product. It's all bottom line. Blue Jays radio baseball is no more. They're just going to plug in the television feed on the radio. And it's just, I'll tell you, it just breaks my heart. The long history of Blue Jays radio baseball in this country with Tom Cheek and then Jerry Howarth. The new kid really was just starting to establish himself, all out the window. So you're just going to have the TV feed on the radio. And of all the sports, you know, baseball is the best on the radio. And there's no mind to that at all. Rogers has decided piss on Blue Jay fans, piss on those people that love to listen to the radio, you know, and have the description by Jerry and Tom Cheek traditionally, you know, the way they'd set up a game in your mind. That's all gone now.
Yeah.
So you're going to get these guys referring to visuals on the radio. And it's just, I think it's a sad day and another indication the Canadian broadcasters have just given up.
I was trying to find it, but I can't find it now because I'm restarting my computer. But Jerry Howarth apparently mm-hmm. is on record saying how disappointed he is. That being said, I can't imagine your surprise because I wasn't when I heard it.
No, and, you know, they're saying it has something to do with COVID, which is bullshit, because last year after things got shut down, they still did the radio games. That Ben Wilner kid, who is the new voice of the, he lives in Florida, so he's already in the States. On and on and on. It's just, it's money, it's bottom line. They don't. You know, Howard, when they have these meetings, like, what, I know it's like the next quarter we have to do this, we're bleeding money here, but what's the 2-year plan, the 3-year plan, the 5-year plan? Like, what is it?
Well, here, let me react to what you're saying from another perspective. While I agree that is a part of the reorganization in this business that we've been part of together for a long time, but when I say you couldn't be surprised, because yes, somebody has done some research and said, well, the numbers of people listening to a radio broadcast now no longer support how much it costs us, whatever that number is.
Yeah.
Because just like I said about the people in the States, these people making decisions aren't dumb either.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's part of a bigger conversation around the sustainability of radio anyway, because... Mm-hmm. You know, I like, and the one saving grace is it's Dan Shulman. So Dan Shulman will make this a better, more palatable broadcast. But you say, what's the 2-3-4-year plan? I don't know. They're going to shut down a bunch of stations. That's the plan.
Mm-hmm. Because they make these announcements, you know, they make these decisions. And you just wonder, so if we're here now, it's not going to get any better. If you're not investing in people and you're not making the product better to attract listeners or viewers,
yeah.
What is the long-term plan? Like, what's next? Maybe that's it.
If you and I were in charge, would we really want to put our investment into radio? Not that radio won't be around, but it's not going to be around in the form that it is now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all of this stuff that just went on with Bell and firings and reorganization and TSNs becoming comedy stations and on and on and on. They're doing it because they've seen the future, and it doesn't include populating those transmitters with human beings anymore. It doesn't make any sense.
No. It's just this one really, you know, because again, you know.
I get it, man. It sucks.
There's many times a game was on in on television, but I just wanted to be outside. So you put the, you know, Delise often said that she knew when, you know, she knew it was spring because she'd drive home from work and Tom and Jerry would be wafting out of the garage, right?
Yeah.
Because I'd be out there doing something, listening to the game, and you know, baseball on the radio. It's a very unique, precious thing, and now we've given it up.
He says a 64-year-old guy, but
I'll
tell you what, Danny Patterson, who's 34, you know, what they've seen is, where is this going to grow? Because all the guys that think the way you do, and yeah. I don't disagree. I've told you that. I've probably listened to more Blue Jays baseball than I've ever watched a Blue Jays game. Mm-hmm. But that's us. A 34-year-old human isn't given a shit about the broadcast anymore. They don't even watch it. They go to the 10-minute recap of the game or whatever, you know.
Or they get alerts on their phone.
They get alerts on their phone.
You know, the you know, it's in your pocket. It buzzes. You take it out and you see the latest. You just watch the goals. You don't watch the stuff in between.
You know, there's a sport, baseball, where, you know, it almost seems like a game out of time. Like, it doesn't jibe with the way the rest of us consume things. And, you know, TikTok videos are 60 seconds, but some are 30, some are 15. You know, we have this bite-sized mentality now. But yeah, I don't disagree that it's a shitty loss, and then not having a dedicated broadcast team seems odd. I mean, maybe they'll do that with hockey eventually.
Yeah, you know, no, and you make a good point about the demographics. You know, what I'm used to isn't what a 30-year-old is used to. So be it. We move on. It's just from this reporter.
Mm. Well, good reporting.
It's a sad moment.
It is a sad moment. Mm. This is the way the world looks to Dick Smythe. All right. Here's this thing that Darren sent us. I don't know why it tickles me, but it does. It is a kid singing Jack and Diane, but all the lyrics are sucking on a chili dog. I don't know what else to say about it. This makes me laugh. Hang on.
When Frampton comes alive.
Now, of course, I've been saving it for.
Sucking on a chili dog.
Here we go.
Sucking on a chili dog. Sucking on a chili dog. Sucking on a chili dog.
Sucking on it.
Sucking on a chili dog. Sucking on a chili dog. Sucking on a chili dog. Chili dog. Sucking on a chili dog. Sucking on a dog. Sucking on a chili dog. Chili. Sucking on a chili dog. Sucking on a dog. Sucking on a chili dog. Sucking on.
This is my favorite part here.
Sucking on.
Sucking on.
Chili dog. Sucking on a dog. Sucking on a chili dog. Sucking on chili. Sucking on a dog. Sucking on a chili dog, sucking on chili dog. A little ditty about Jack and Diane. Two American kids sucking on a chili dog.
All right, there you go. Well, you know, it was bound to happen. We haven't had a show where, you know, a bunch of shit went wrong. And today it did, and that's how it's going to go sometimes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It was still fun.
It's fun. It's fun. All right, everyone. Enjoy the rest of your day. And thanks for all your support. Oh, yeah. This episode of Humble and Fred brought to you by the Chamber Plan, CDN Technologies, Gig Sky, Retirement Sherpa, Onyx Hospitality, NextHome.ca, 5-Hour Energy, Pro Painters, and Safety, Safe Tech Alarms. See ya.
Bottles and cans, just clap your hands, just clap your hands.